trouble at love 40. But Félix Auger-Aliassime is on the move on the forehand side. He goes up the line into the net.
There is indeed a laundry service at all the tournaments, particularly, obviously, a laundry service at the Grand Slams, which take in a lot of clothes. So what happens is the players will leave their dirty clothes with the locker room staff, who will then take them and usually with a Grand Slam, because it's so much stuff, they will take them off-site to launder the clothes, and then they'll get them back usually the same day, because they understand that, you know,
very quickly.
For top players, they may have lots and lots of clothes, but for lots of the lower ranked players, they're not going to have had so many clothes from their clothing manufacturer. Or if they don't have a clothing deal, they're actually having to use, you know, things that they bought themselves in some cases. So, yes, part of the remit of the locker room staff is to do the dirty laundry. Not in public, though.
Quite. Still break point. Alcaraz has saved two. Still got one. It's 30-40. Serves to the body of, toward the body of Félix Auger-Aliassime, but just long. The wind continues to ripple on the back of world number three. Alcaraz kicks the second serve to Auger-Aliassime, who returns on the backhand side on an angle. Drop shot from the Canadian. Alcaraz will get there. Will he get to the volley? Yes, he will. Oh, I think Félix thought he'd won that point. Played a backhand cross court. But the speed of Alcaraz to cover the net so well, stuck out his racket, puts it away.
And there are times where Alcaraz is just this bundle of kinetic energy zipping around the court. And that was one of those examples, so fast. And the brain is moving as fast as the body.
Not sure Auger-Aliassime could believe that Alcaraz was getting across to that ball. Alcaraz, he's looking at it, he's like, did I get that? Yes, I did. Back to juice. Serves to the forehand of Auger-Aliassime, who hits the return with depth. Then he goes cross-court as Alcaraz slices the ball short. In comes Félix Auger-Aliassime. Ball forehand catches the tape and flies long. A little bit of bad luck, for Auger-Aliassime. He was in a good position coming forward. Early break for Tsitsipas over on court. Suzanne Longland in the fourth set, leading 2-1. Now one love up. Alcaraz kicks the first serve really high up to the backhand of Auger-Aliassime, who can't do anything about it. And Alcaraz holds serve to extend his lead to 4-2. And Auger-Aliassime, no sign of any movement issues. So maybe just a little feeling. I mean, I think when you've had a lot of injuries, you are pretty aware of any little niggle.
Yes, and there's precious little time to rest at this time of the season, because you've got two Grand Slams in relatively quick succession.
And the Olympics.
And the Olympics, of course, yeah. And a switch of surfaces.
Exactly.
Back and forth, clay, grass and clay again.
Steven is listening in a high corner of Philippe Chatrier. That's amazing. Well done. Thanks for getting in touch, Stephen. It's my first time attending Roland Garros. I've been enjoying the commentary and will continue to listen when I return to New York tomorrow. What's up with the ball kids double pump before rolling the ball? I can't recall anything like it anywhere else. Definitely not the US Open. Thanks for the entertainment in my ears while I enjoy the matches with my eyes.
Oh, give us a wave.
Yeah, it's great. We are we're at the opposite end of Félix.
I'm waving.
Eleanor's busy waving right now. Serve volley from Auger-Aliassime and a smart short volley. Didn't give Alcaraz a chance to run down anything. If it had been deeper, he would have been able to. That's well thought out. Yeah, we're at the opposite end of Félix. We're sort of at a 45-degree angle to him, up high on the fifth floor, waving now. Of course, you could still be waving and I wouldn't know where you are.
I didn't bring my binoculars. So it is, if you're in the furthest corner from us, you might be waving in vain.
Exactly. So 15 love at 2-4.
Stefan is very good at spotting people waving at us, but yes, unfortunately he's temporarily left the room.
Antoine was as well. Antoine had some friends in and he was busy waving across. But again, I think they were in contact by phone, so they did know roughly where they were.
Well, that's cheating.
Exactly. You should be able to just guess. But it's great that people are in the stands watching the match and listening to us at the same time. I think that's a really great thing. We'd love more people to do that if they can. because we hope to we'll keep you informed with what else is going on, of course, around the grounds, but also bring a little bit of entertainment to the tennis when the tennis is not doing all the entertaining itself, which it often is. Backhand long from Alcaraz after a double fault from Felix Auger-Aliassime, and it's 30-15. Tsitsipas, two love in the fourth on court Suzanne Lenglen. Looking very strong now after a shaky start. We're ripping through the schedule today, which is not what could be said yesterday.
It's the absolute opposite of yesterday,
isn't it? It is. You just need Iga Świątek on your plans.
Is she playing all the night sessions from here on in?
I don't think so, but that would be very nice for whoever's doing the night sessions. Ace from Auger-Aliassime, 40-15. We still, this is the last match on Court Philippe Chatrier today, unless they decide to add one in. But there's now we're actually up to date in the singles, which is remarkable, given the weather for the first week. So there's no need to. They could add a doubles if they feel like it. As good forehand from Auger-Aliassime. One-hander on the run. Nonchalant, easy as you like from Alcaraz. He's just standing by the side by his towel, wondering whether he actually made that shot. He's like, that was ridiculously easy. From way outside the tram lines, he found the edge of the sideline.
There are players who have a one-handed backhand who couldn't hit that shot.
Absolutely. Loads of them.
How demoralising if you're Felix Auger-Aliassime.
Yeah.
I'm just going to hit some winners one-handed now. And he's not showboating. He just has he has this ambition and joy about the way he plays. He wants to try new things, Alcaraz.
He genuinely loves playing tennis, doesn't he? You're right. He's trying new stuff, learning things all the time. He's young. Good forehand approach from Auger-Aliassime. A big fist bump from the Canadian. That's an interesting use of body language. There's still a breakdown. But he is what we were talking about in his press conference. He believes, he wants to believe that he can win this match, and he wants to show Alcaraz that he still believes. So good hold. Alcaraz still up a break.
I think that's experience, isn't it? It's experience of playing top players in these big situations and realising that, you know, however many fantastic shots they hit, and Alcaraz has hit some, you know, he's a mini showreel all of him on his own, isn't he? Carlos Alcaraz, he's a walking highlights reel. But Felix Auger-Aliassime, I think, showing there that he feels he's still in this match.
Alex from Montreal says, does the same group of commentators on Radio Roland Garros do the other Grand Slam tourneys? Well, sort of, some of us do some bits. So Marcus Buckland is half in charge of the coverage of Wimbledon, Radio Wimbledon. Is that called Radio Wimbledon these days? It's not, is it?
No.
Wimbledon Radio. Live Wimbledon.
Almost.
Radio. Live at Wimbledon.
You're saying the words, just not necessarily.
It's got Wimbledon in it.
In the right order. The official radio station for Wimbledon, which you'll find, of course, in the same way that you find us on the official tournament website and app.
So Marcus runs the morning of the. He sort of is the main host of the morning radio, and then comes back a little bit later, and then another person runs in the afternoon. They sort of share it between them with lots of guests, lots of pundits, lots of experts, former players, etc. It's a really good service. So Marcus is there. Gigi works for BBC 5 Live Radio during Wimbledon. I do a bit of Australian Open Radio with Chris Bowers during Australia. And Ellen, what are you up to the rest of you?
Not much.
Buying strawberries.
I have worked for AO Radio.
You have?
I did for many years and thoroughly enjoyed it. But yes, I'm quite busy working on lots of tournaments operationally, so I tend to be behind the scenes. This is the only one where I have the absolute pleasure of doing commentary. But
yeah.
Yes, and US Open, of course, has its own radio station.
Chris has worked for them once, 1 year, I think. But generally, it's
never again,
populated
they said.
By Americans. Yeah, that's the end of that. He ruined it for all Europeans and internationals on the US Open. It's obviously run by the USTA and stuff, but it's a good service and it provides important stuff from the tennis as Alcaraz runs Auger-Aliassime around the court and it finishes off with a forehand pass, 15 all at 4-3.
But it also has a a sponsor support, and
yes.
and it's designed actually almost more for the people who are on site, because they, you can get these little radios which are created specifically to listen to US Open Radio, so that you can keep an ear out on what's going on around the grounds when you're in the Arthur Ashe Stadium, for example.
And I know that's something that they've talked about doing here. You know, it obviously needs a sponsor to pay for it because it's not cheap. But it would be an extra thing for the fans inside the stadiums to enjoy. And, you know, we would love it because we'd love to know that you're in the stands watching and listening to us, because it's great. Nice forehand from Alcaraz to get to 30-15. Message from Kathleen in Austin, Texas. I attended the 1988 Graf Zvereva final. Nice. And it was as dismal as that rainy day. But that morning I attended Musée d'Orsay's Barnes Foundation exhibit, which combined the world's great modern masterpieces in one building, a Van Gogh room, Monet et al. And that's the glory of Paris. Even when the tennis is lacking, the city never is. Exactly. When's the tennis lacking? Oh, come on, Kathleen. Talking about...
Rebecca sent us a fantastic list of all the places that she's listened to Radio Roland Garros.
Oh.
All the things she's been doing while she's been listening.
40-15, Alcaraz. We'll come to that in a second. Ogier seems showing that good body language, but Alcaraz just playing within himself, doing what he needs to do. Kicks the serve down the tee to the forehand return, which is very good from Alcaraz. Out wide, doesn't get the angle with the next one. Now he goes up the middle of the court with a backhand, and Alcaraz plays the ball straight past him, straight back down the line. Clean winner. And it's 5-3, and Ogier seems annoyed with himself that he didn't take advantage of the good forehand initially in the point, which created the space that he didn't take.
Yes, you wouldn't call it tentative, but it was certainly a chance that he was...
Just didn't hit it properly.
Yeah, just wasn't quite hit at the pace that you need to hit it at against someone like Carlos Alcaraz, who's now in the mood to just be taking advantage of any moments of weakness.
So where's Rebecca been listening and what's she been up to?
Places that I've listened to Radio_RG... our Twitter handle, this week. I've hiked around Hilltown in the Mourns, County Down.
Ooh.
I've listened on the train to Dublin for the Bloom Festival. I've listened while working and commuting. I've listened whilst walking my dog, Pepper. And there's a picture of Pepper.
Picture of each of those things, I think.
Oh, there is. I'm only really interested in the picture of Pepper.
Oh,
looks beautiful where you have been walking.
A cup of coffee on the train. That looks very nice. Well, lovely. Sounds lovely.
Are you in need of a cup of coffee after last night?
I've had three. I had two in very quick succession this morning. And the third one was quite milky, so I don't really need... I'm all right. I think I'll be okay.
It was
Gigi and Stefan that were the miracle pair getting back in here for 11. That's the tough part.
Yes. 3:07. The night match finished last night.
It's funny that it's always difficult with match times finishing. What's the official time? Because like the website says 3:07. It's been reported in lots of places as 3:08. So we'll have to settle. In a few days' time, we'll probably settle on an exact finishing time.
Yes, either way,
it was late,
but either way, or early, depending on your point of view. But it was the latest finish in the history of the tournament.
It was, by a long, long way. And more trouble for Ogier Aliassim at love 30. Of a good return from Alcaraz that Ogier Aliassim could only put in the net. Crowd want more of this, and they want to see Felix fighting back and taking some chances. But it's rough as he serves, with the wind rustling his shirt once more. Forehand deep to the backhand of Alcaraz, who just gets there so quickly and plays the drop shot. Now it's not even a hope of Ogier Aliassim getting anywhere near that. He played it into the wind. It just died over the net. Very nicely done. And just the thing on the drop shot, playing it into the wind is the best thing to do. Love 40, three set points.
The best, but perhaps not the easiest.
Well, sort of easier, because you overhit the other one. So you can actually give it a little bit more and you get more feel on the ball. Three set points for Carlos Alcaraz, number 3 seed. Love 40. Ogier Aliassim serving. Down the tee is a good one, but Alcaraz again just gets the ball back like he always does. Backhand into the backhand corner from the Spaniard. Then he goes straight back down behind Auger-Aliassime, who's slightly out of position, has to move quickly to his forehand side. Forehand up the line from Alcaraz, pulls the trigger, misses. Meanwhile, Tsitsipas is 4-love up, cruising through that fourth set.
Yeah, the danger averted for Stefanos Tsitsipas. It was definitely clear and present, though, wasn't it, at a set down and set points down.
Absolutely.
Against Matteo Arnaldi.
15-40. Auger-Aliassime takes his time before serving. Good serve down the tee, but again, Alcaraz gets two hands on the racket on the backhand side, and the pass is past Auger-Aliassime before he can even get to the net. He pushes the ball away and sits down in his chair with enormous work to do, because the number three seed, Carlos Alcaraz, leads by two sets to love, 6-3, 6-3.
Well, do join in the conversation here on Radio Roland Garros. You're always, lots of ways, with us here in the commentary box at radio_RG if you're on Twitter. If you just want to email us, frenchopenradio@fft.fr. If you just want to listen, that's also fine.
It's totally fine. Robin says, believe me when I say, as someone who works in and is a fan of tennis, I wish we had access to this Roland Garros team plus 40 juice twits all year. And of course, it's Courtney Nguyen, who can't be with us this year. She's at home in California, enjoying herself.
We do miss her.
We do. We do. But she was listening last night, which was very nice to hear. And then she turned off when Gigi started talking about weird food.
Well, I mean, she's not really in a position to cast aspersions on weird food, is she, Courtney Nguyen, with her obsession with chicken and waffles?
Hopefully she's...
Is it chicken waffles or chicken and waffles?
Don't know.
Well, wouldn't go near it anyway.
I would eat them. What's wrong with... They're both nice foods, aren't they?
Yeah, but not together.
Depends what else is with it.
It's going to... Whenever you have... And my worry is syrup in inappropriate places in American food.
What?
Pancakes,
inappropriate
syrup,
places like
bacon,
what? Like a pub?
Waffle. There's many ways to take that sentence.
Yeah.
I mean, waffle, chicken, syrup, where does that fit in? Pancake, bacon, syrup? Why would you do that?
Yeah, I mean, they're all nice foods. I think you could just have it on the side, perhaps.
Or not at all.
Kate says, night-night, sleep tight. Don't let the big bug bite. Yeah, well, we're not quite at the night time yet.
Oh, this email from Theo is going to cause ructions in the Radio Roland Garros team. I'm a huge fan of the whole Radio Roland Garros team, but Gigi and Eleanor have been my favourite duo. Excellent choice, Theo. I think Eleanor and Simon are my new favourite, though.
Good call. Why is that?
Because I learned yesterday that Gigi has not seen The West Wing.
Gigi's not seen a lot of things. Her film and TV knowledge is lacking. Big time. She's clearly way too busy.
Well, she might be busy working.
Yeah, and whereas I'm...
whereas
I'm
you and I are
not.
Just...
I'm just good at finding the time to do these things.
Well, I do also live with a man who's quite obsessed with The West Wing and has seen it all the way through at least four times.
That was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And can quote whole passages from it. And, yeah, he could probably do The Jackal, actually, if you are a West Wing fan.
Oh,
you might
yeah.
get that reference.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
It's quickly starting the third set here. Alcaraz on serve at 15-all. You're not missing anything. Serve on to the sideline. An ace from Alcaraz. Auger-Aliassime staring at it, but it's not going to change anything. That's the first ace of the match for Alcaraz.
How is that
or
possible?
Or anyone, because didn't I say that Auger-Aliassime hit an ace earlier?
I think you did.
Well, I must have lied.
Quite possibly.
Or the stats are not correct. We shall find out later. Alcaraz hooks the forehand into the corner of the Auger-Aliassime forehand corner, and he's just a step slow as Eleanor jumps in her seat as she removes all evidence of emails and tweets on her screen.
It's fine, they're back. They're back. Everybody relax.
What did you press there?
I don't know, and that's what concerns me.
That is concerning. 40-15, couple of game points for Alcaraz at the start of the third set. Goes out wide again, and Ogier-Aliassime gets there, but now he has a good, hits a decent backhand into the backhand corner. Coming forward on the forehand, misses. And the difference between these two at the moment is that Ogier-Aliassime is creating opportunities within points, not taking them, either through an error or a great shot from Alcaraz. And Alcaraz is just asking him too many questions.
Well, the game plan is working to a degree, but it's not being executed quite well enough. Not quite good enough, as you say, to match the level of play that Alcaraz is finding. Jonathan, who's listening in London, has tweeted us, said, what do we think Felix's best outdoor surface is? Indoor hard is by far and away his best surface. This is Jonathan's opinion.
Yeah.
But what slam will he have achieved his best results at by the time his career is done?
Yeah, I mean, he's got the game for all surfaces, I would say. I think the slightly faster hard courts are good for him. So US Open is a good one, and Wimbledon. Wimbledon, he's a good mover, good athlete. He's got a good serve. No reason he can't do well there. I think clay is a little bit more problematic because of when he comes up against someone like an Alcaraz, who just can manoeuvre the ball with so much spin and power that it creates difficulties for him. I mean, it's not like he's playing badly. It's just being outplayed. Serves to the backhand of Alcaraz, who misses long. Lizzie in Utah says, I agree. The Radio Roland Garros team feels like family, where we can engage with each other and laugh with and at one another. Yeah, with each other and at Eleanor. You're correct.
Or Marcus, to be fair.
I wish all four slams were so relaxed. Well, I think, you know, we try to bring you all the tennis and everything that's going on, but we do try and make it fun. And we do have fun doing it. Don't tell the bosses too much.
We definitely have lots of fun. I would say it's my most fun work weeks of the year.
Me too. Look forward to it every year. It's absolutely fantastic. And it's a very nice team of people, and we all get on well together. And yeah, we've tried to make it fun for you guys too. Robin says it's chicken and waffles, not chicken waffles.
It's neither for me, Robin, but thank you for the information. Wait. Delia is cooking beef stew and herb dumplings.
Oh, I love beef stew and dumplings.
I do like a dumpling.
Forehand from... Oh, when things are not going for you, they're not going for you. Ogier-Aliassime hits a forehand that was good, would have been better had it not hit the top of the net. It did. It slowed down completely. Then Alcaraz hit a not very good backhand, which hit the top of the net and dropped stone dead the other side. So,
net cords, eh? Who'd have them?
Exactly. Meanwhile, Tsitsipas is getting close to the finishing line. He's 5-1 up on Matteo Arnaldi, and he's just absolutely got him on a string over on court. Suzanne Longlent, we may well pop over there to catch the match point in a moment. Serve volley from Ogier-Aliassime is good, and Alcaraz returns into the net.
Yes, it'll be interesting to hear what Tsitsipas says after the match as well about the difficult start. Now, a lot of that is credit to Arnaldi, but it was a rocky start, and
he
did have to clamber out of trouble in that match.
He certainly did. It's 30-15, Ogier-Aliassime. Beth says, after last night's barn burner between Djokovic and Musetti, when does Stefan, Gigi and Simon have to report to work this morning? Well, hours ago, Beth. Gigi and Stefan made it in to start the show just before 11, which was an incredible performance because that's when I got out of bed. But I made it in for 1 o'clock to write a couple of articles before we started on air. So, you know, I wish we could stay in bed longer, but the problem is with these tournaments, if you let yourself have lie-ins, deep lie-ins till sort of 11, 12, if you do have time to do that, the tournament just becomes like a night, you know, so you become nocturnal. You turn yourself into a nocturnal human being, and that's not a good way to be. So it is good to get out of bed earlier. But I did manage to get some sleep last night, which was good.
And also, the day sessions, there's a lot going on. There's tennis to bring you.
There's a lot going on, a lot of people coming in for interviews and press and stuff. So Vishal says, don't say tweet, say X. Elon Musk may be listening to your commentary. Nah. Well, if he is, I'm saying tweet. He made a mistake turning it to X. Everyone knows it as Twitter.
Yes, it was an odd rebranding decision, wasn't it? But Elon, if you are listening,
yeah, thank you for your favourites.
Thank you for joining us at Radio Roland Garros.
Drop shot in the net from Ogier Lissima. We've got a quiz question from Max.
Oh, I like that. Go
These
on.
Two players' surnames begin with the letter A. Can you name the five men to reach a Grand Slam final in the Open era whose surname begins with the letter A? I can think of one immediately.
Five men in the Open era whose surname begins with A.
Yeah. 40-30, Ogier Lissima serving. Serves and volleys, comes in on the forehand, doesn't put the forehand volley away. In fact, he puts it straight back down to Alcaraz. Really, he could have done anything with it. He lobbed him instead, and then Ogier Lissima missed the smash. Not a good volley. He's trying to play it short, overhit it. Back to Juice. I can think of one.
It's making a Grand Slam final, did we
yeah.
say? Kevin
in
Anderson.
In the Open era, that's one. Hang on, no, we're not asking the listeners, so think of this.
I mean, I suppose.
You come
I've got
with
my
you
hand
come
up, Simon. You come,
all right,
I've got
that's,
my
that's
hand
your
up.
One. Let's see who else comes up with these without Googling, okay, or any of the other search engines. Juice, second game of the third set. Alcaraz leading one love. Great serve on the angle from Felix Auger-Aliassime, but Alcaraz gets the ball back to the feet of the Canadian somehow, and then Felix misses with the backhand long.
Got another one, but I'm not
going to
say it.
I got one who's a very well-known one.
I think that's probably the one that I've got.
Yes. I can't... it's quite hard trying to concentrate on commentating and start racking my brain as to these players who begin with A, even though I should definitely know them. But yeah, Kevin Anderson was a good one. It's a good call. Looked to the Wimbledon final. Couldn't move. His feet were killing him. After playing forever against John Isner in the semis and beating Roger Federer in the quarters. Alcaraz looking to break, but he misses the backhand. Max says, P.S., my favourite's Marcus Buckland. Yeah, we know, Max. That's all right. Oh, someone's just answered with all of them. Oh, four. She's got four. Oh, good point. Oh, yes, well.
Did you forget? Yes, I've got him.
Okay. I forgot the most obvious one in front of my face, literally. One legend, another legend, two legends of the sport. Oh, did he miss it? Oh, just. It was a serve volley from Alcaraz, but it was a forehand return serve volley from Ogier Lissima. Alcaraz trying to get the forehand down the line, but it just missed. We're going to pop over to Court Suzanne Lalonde because it is three match points to Stefanos Tsitsipas. Arnaldi shakes his head. I think he played very, very well for two sets. Had a point to lead by two sets to love. Couldn't quite get it. And Tsitsipas has played phenomenally well ever since he won that second set. As he slices a forehand. That's going to go long. The match will be extended a tiny bit longer. Turned it round really well. But no, as we said, nobody picked Stefanos Tsitsipas among our crack team of experts here.
Did you say crack?
I did.
Okay.
I think. Did I? I hope so.
Otherwise it would be a Freudian slip.
Can't be 100% sure. Exactly. Very accurate Freudian slip. 40-15. Tsitsipas, two match points. He's had one already. Juice on Chatrier. Tsitsipas goes up the line with a big forehand, runs around his backhand to the inside in forehand and puts that wide as well. So two match points saved.
I think that's our fault for switching over, isn't it? Always happens.
It's okay, we get more of Tsitsipas. That's quite nice.
Well, and it is a match that we were following certainly for the first two sets here on Radio Roland Garros, because it did look for all the world as if Stefanos Tsitsipas might be going out of the tournament.
Yeah, a lot of support for Arnaldi. The Italians out in force this year and their players going very well on the men's side especially, but also Jasmine Paolini on the women's side. As Tsitsipas plays the forehand cross court, Arnaldi's out of court. The backhand is into the open court for Tsitsipas, who stands with his arms raised above his head, big, big smile on his face, and he's through to the quarterfinals, and he is looking very good. Stefanos Tsitsipas, the former finalist here, wins 3-6, 7-6, 6-2, 6-2. And Tsitsipas, you don't see him get this excited too often. He is pumping the air with his fist. He's standing in the middle of the court, thanking the crowd. punching his fist, delighted with his day's work.
Well, there's relief mixed with triumph for Tsitsipas there, as we said. Set down, very nearly two sets down, managed to find a way through, find a way out of trouble. A lot of his experience, I think, showing there, and also the confidence of having won a big title this season, of course, champion in Monte Carlo, and Arnaldi just leaving the court and getting, quite rightly, applauded off. Simon was saying lots and lots of Italian support here. They can sense these are great times for Italian tennis. I think we'll see Arnaldi again. I think he's part of this army of Italian players on the men's and women's sides who are really taking both tours and now the Grand Slams by storm.
Absolutely. He's had a very good tournament. He should be proud of himself. He played well too today, but Tsitsipas too strong. And as you hear, we're going to hear from Stefanos Tsitsipas with Fabrice Santoro any minute now. Tsitsipas just getting himself together. And he's a bit sorted out. In fact, he's just sitting down on the chair, wiping his face with his towel while he chats to Fabrice off mic.
Perhaps that's what the announcement said.
No, the announcement said in a few moments.
Tsitsipas is just going to have a little chat to Fabrice Santoro at the side of the court.
Yes.
They're going to talk about their golf game. Yeah.
And you lot are not going to hear it.
You will hear it. You will hear from Stefanos Tsitsipas. As I said, it will be interesting to hear his take on what a battle that was. You could see certainly his relief writ large.
Tsitsipas has just handed Fabrice Santoro two rackets that he wants restrung. Now he's passing them on to a ball boy to take them to the stringers. It's quite a lot of pressure on the ball kids, I think. You know, he says, most kids are not listening to anything anyone says to them. So he just says, can you string these at 52? And by the time the guy gets to the stringer, he's going, why have I got these rackets?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think
I would write it down.
What's also interesting is that immediately after the match, when he has a whole day off.
Exactly.
It shows he's keen.
Here we go. Let's hear from Stefanos.
Une nouvelle ovation pour Stefanos. Stefanos, congratulations. You're such a great player to watch. It's fantastic. Today you had a tough match. Matteo played some great tennis. How crucial was the end of the second set when he served for the set?
I had to bush dunk you today very a lot. A lot of moving my ass and making sure. It was one of the craziest comebacks I've had. The momentum seemed to be going his way the entire match. It was very frustrating on my end because I felt like I was, you know, trying my best, trying to make him move. Nothing really seemed like it was working, and I think my spirit was the reason I managed to come back today. Even at 5-3 in the second set, I felt like I can come back. I felt like there's power within me to turn this match around, and I think that game at 5-4 when I broke him was the biggest pleasure I've experienced in tennis in a very long time, because I felt like there is a chance. I felt like now me and the crowd, we are on this, so it felt amazing.
In tennis, of course, you have to play well, you have to be strong physically, but also very strong mentally. You had to wait breakpoint number 9 before to take his serve. It's tough sometimes to be patient.
Of course, and when you're used to the kind of ways you've been building up points on the returns, you know, converting those breakpoints, I felt like there was quality in my shot. There was a lot of intensity behind every single decision that I was trying to impose. And regardless of that, I didn't really feel like he was backing down. He's one of the biggest fighters I have played in tennis, and he deserves a lot of credit because he was pushing me to the limits, and one of the strongest opponents I have had on the clay court season so far. And I really think we're going to see a lot of things from him in the future, because you know, there are players that at certain moments, you know, they're a little bit more fragile, but he seemed very composed and very strong in those crucial moments. So I had to really work double the amount of what I'm usually used to. No.
Stefanos, now you're in the quarterfinal. Did you look at your draw?
No.
You may play a Spanish player.
Yeah, okay, we know. There's only one.
He's leading 2-0 now against Felix on center court. I guess it's a great challenge for you, and you're very excited if, in case you play Carlos Alcaraz.
Well, he has said in the past that he likes playing against me, so I hope he gets to like it a little bit less this time. I hope I can get him to that maybe stage of starting to feel maybe that it's not so comfortable playing against me. That's my goal going into the match, and I hope there are chances on my side that I can utilize and I can create an amazing atmosphere such as today. Was like, these are the moments I'm waiting for as a tennis player.
It will be a great atmosphere. Once again, congratulations, Stefanos. Mesdames et messieurs, Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Nice words from Stefanos Tsitsipas about his own game, but also about Matteo Arnaldi, who definitely has a good future in the sport. Tsitsipas looking very strong. And that'll be fascinating against Carlos Alcaraz. He was badly beaten by Alcaraz here when they last met at Roland Garros. But he's got the game.
That is, what was the phrase that one of our listeners used earlier? A barn burner.
Exactly.
That's certainly one to look forward
absolute
to.
Absolute classic. Meanwhile, Carlos Alcaraz, as Fabri Santoro said, is two sets up on Felix Auger-Aliassime. He's also three love up, having got the early break. Could reach on the smash from Auger-Aliassime, but Alcaraz gets there. He's going to get the backhand as well. He just flicks it cross court. But this time, Felix sticks out his racket, hits the winner, and the crowd loving it.
And that was a vignette, wasn't it, of how hard Felix Auger-Aliassime has had to work just to win a point.
I'm going to give you so Max set this question of the five men who reached a Grand Slam final in the Open era whose surname begins with A.
Red Sox Devils Eleanor got Preston. Four of them, by
Eleanor
the way.
Eleanor Preston got Kevin Anderson quickly before we realised that we should actually put this out to you guys. Andre Agassi, the main one. I'm going to read them to you because most of you have got them, or at least four of them.
There's another which is alliterative.
Exactly. Now, Annette says Agassi, Anderson, Arthur Ashe, and of course Carlos Alcaraz, who's right in front of our faces here, and I completely forgot. Max claims that we won't get the last one, but let's see if some of you have got him. I think Courtney Walsh would have got it because he's an Australian and he's actually quite well known in tennis down under. Mal Anderson, 1972 Australian Open. Good question, Max. Thank you for that.
Two Andersons.
Yeah, exactly.
So technically I did get both of them because I just said Anderson.
Yeah, that's
I could have been talking about Mal
in a quiz Anderson. Show, you might have been right.
That's really helpful.
But good question. A lot of people couldn't get the Mal Anderson, but well done if you did. That's a tough one. Australian Open back in those days wasn't played by that many of the internationals. Certainly not what it is today. A big miss hit from Felix has got him in trouble again at 15:30. Ruby says, maybe I'm in the minority here, sorry, but I'm not a fan of post-match interviews. 90% of them sound like they could have been written by AI. Who's the player you think gives the most interesting on-court interviews? Well, I think Tsitsipas is very honest and open. But it depends, really. It's the interaction with the questioner, isn't it?
Yes, and I think there has been an effort to sort of knock players off their stride in terms of getting them to, you know, demonstrate a stroke or having some sort of fun in games and being a bit more light-hearted. I think partly to create a bit more of a rapport between interviewers and interviewees. But you've got to remember that those on-court interviews, as well as being for obviously you listening at home and everybody in the stadium, they're also taken by the rights holders of the broadcast rights holders around the world and will therefore have to be translated into lots of different languages. So sometimes actually from that point of view, more simple and straightforward interviews are actually better for a lot of broadcasters. I know what you mean, though. It's difficult, isn't it? But, you know, they're very short. You don't have a lot of time. Players are also often, just after a match, you know, they're not at their most articulate. They might be mentally exhausted, physically exhausted. Quite hard, isn't it, to suddenly be in a situation where you are public speaking, if you like, when your head has been locked in a contest.
Absolutely. Third double fault from Felix Auger-Aliassime. not at a very good time, has given Carlos Alcaraz a chance to break for a second time in this set and lead 4-love if he takes it. Alcaraz just waiting till Ogier Nassim gets into his serving routine. Serve comes to the backhand of the Spaniard. He returns it to the backhand of Ogier Nassim and then hits the forehand cross court to the forehand of Alcaraz. Alcaraz backhand slice is short, really short. Felix gets there very well. Flick of the wrist from Alcaraz. Another sticks out his racket, but he's not going to get that back. There's juice.
Well, you wouldn't put it past Alcaraz to get that back, would you?
No.
Any other player, you'd think, well, that's the point over. But the point is almost never over with Carlos Alcaraz.
No, he's everywhere on the court, is Carlos Alcaraz.
But then he's inventive when he gets there.
Yeah. So Tsitsipas is done on court Suzanne Long. Then we've got two more matches to come on that court. We've got Clara Towson of Denmark against Ons Jabeur, and that will be followed by Hubert Hurkacz against Grigor Dimitrov. That one not before 6 o'clock local time. And of course here on court, Philippe Chatrier after this match, a bit of a break, and then the night session will be between Yannick Sinner, the number 2 seed, the Australian Open champion, and Corentin Moutet of France, which promises to be a very good atmosphere. Another double fault from Ogier Eliassime, and starting to creep in now. He's looking a little bit forlorn.
Hurkacz and Dimitrov's going to be something of a survival of the fittest, isn't it? The third day in a row that they've been on court.
Yeah. Dimitrov played pretty much 3 sets yesterday. Hurkacz 2. So, yeah, interesting one.
Both their matches delayed by the R word. We're not going to say it again. We're not going to mention it.
Ogier Nassim, serve and volley on break point down, and he nets the backhand volley. And that's a second breaker serve for Alcaraz, and this match looks pretty much over. 4-love, the Spaniard leads. And too many times, Ogier Nassim has tried serve and volley, which is a good play, and he's made a bit of a hash of the volley, either putting it too much, not short enough, and giving Alcaraz a chance to run it down, or missing.
Yes, you have to also give credit to Alcaraz's returning.
Yeah.
Because quite often Ogier Eliassime has seemed to almost be coming to the ball a little late on that first volley. Either way, his 2024 Roland Garros seems to be drawing to a close.
I think the order of play is out. Is it out? Let's have a look. A minute. Big backhand up the line from Felix Auger-Aliassime, but still Alcaraz gets it back with a squash shot, then the lob goes up just long. Even his best shots come back. So the order of play is out for tomorrow, and actually quite surprising that Novak Djokovic is not the night session, given how late they played last night, or early. Night session is Alexander Zverev and Holger Rune. Djokovic Cerundolo is not before 4 o'clock. And the two matches before that are Svitolina against Rybakina to start things off at 11. And then Sabalenka and Navarro straight after. On court Suzanne Longlin, it'll be Paulini against Avanasyan, Dumanor against Medvedev, Kracheva, Andreeva, and Fritz Ruud. So a lot to look forward to. Drop shot in the net from Ogier Eliassime, 15-all.
How do you rate Alex de Minaur's chances against Daniil Medvedev?
Yeah, he's got chances. He could win that match. Medvedev, we all know this isn't his favourite surface, even if he's learning to play pretty well on it. But de Minaur will frustrate Medvedev by making a lot of balls. I can't remember who de Minaur lost to in Australia, but was it him? We'll find out.
Well, Simon looks that up. Yeah, I agree with you. I think de Minaur has chances. I mean, he's having a great tournament. This is a tournament where he hasn't had brilliant results. And this already represents, I think, something of a breakthrough.
Yeah, I mean, he'd not been past second round before. They've played 8 times. It's 6-2 Medvedev. I don't think they've ever played on clay.
I was going to say, I think this, even with that head-to-head, I think this is an example where the surface might be something of a leveller.
Yeah, so it's definitely not Dumanor's best surface because he hits the ball very flat. Doesn't have the spin the heavy spin that most players who do well on clay do have. But he's an incredibly obdurate player. He's so quick, it's ridiculous.
His movement is fantastic on all surfaces, and he's learned, hasn't he, how to move on this stuff.
And there's no reason he can't play well on it. So I think that match will be... My one prediction with that is it'll be long.
Yes, it will be long. So it might be a...
Safe prediction.
Yes, you're really sitting on the fence there. Well, it could be a long day on Court Suzanne Longlen tomorrow because last match of the day...
As Alcaraz holds, sorry, 5-2, 5-love now, closing in on victory.
Taylor Fritz against Casper Ruud. Now, Casper Ruud has been a bit of a workhorse here, hasn't he? He's really had to fight his way to get to this point.
And Fritz beat Kokkinakis in 5 sets yesterday. So that's tough.
Kokkinakis seems to... I mean, I wouldn't say he loves a 5-setter, but certainly he seems to play a lot of them. Some of them he likes, some of them not so much. And that was an example of one he, I think, he'd rather not think about too much.
I think he played really well yesterday. He won't have any regrets, to be honest. He was 2 sets down, having played 2 5-setters, first round, second round. Came back from 2 sets to love down in the second round. Played really well to get back into that match against Fritz. And, you know, just Fritz stepped it up in the fifth. And Fritz is, you know, the better player on paper. And the higher seed, etc., he knows what he's doing. And so I don't think Kokkinakis will have any regrets. It's a good performance. Third round here is good. He'll be back in the top 100. Hopefully he can push on.
Well, Fritz also is another player who's learning to get his head round playing on clay. He's acquired the nickname Clayler Fritz.
I like that. It's good. He's committed to playing on European clay, which is something that Americans in the past have been criticised for not doing. He came out here early, played quite a few of the warm-up events. And so I think, you know, it's great that he's done that, and it's paying off.
And he will be all the better for it going into the grass court season, where he can be a real danger, Taylor Fritz.
Yeah.
Likewise, Dimonor, both of whom would... You might say that grass was their best surface, or at least a very strong surface.
I think Dimonor is better on hard courts. I think hard courts are probably his best one. Maybe slightly faster hard courts. But definitely Fritz should be well suited to grass with his serve and his big backhand.
And the confidence and the development that they both enjoyed, irrespective of what the results are tomorrow, that should stand them in good stead.
We've got a lot of emails and tweets to get through. We will get through them after this match, which seems like it's going to be over very shortly, because Alcaraz is standing at 5-love in this third set, having won the first 2-6-3, 6-3, and Felix has to hit so many shots in every rally. I mean, this rally could have been over ages ago, but Alcaraz scrambles the ball back into play twice before the smash eventually from Ogier Aliassime is into the open court and away for a winner. That's what a lot of people find when they play Alcaraz. He doesn't just get the ball back, but he makes so many balls and he can hit winners from anywhere. And all the talk beforehand about his forearm, he's not had any issues with the way he's been playing so far. And he stands one game away from being in the quarterfinals. And then we're going to start talking about, can he go on to win the title? Winner plays Stefanos Tsitsipas. Remember, Tsitsipas threw in 4 sets against Matteo Arnaldi earlier. Jabeur and Towson are warming up on Court Suzanne Longlen. Serve down the tee from Felix Auger-Aliassime as Alcaraz goes shortish on the backhand. Then he goes back behind Auger-Aliassime. You can hear the Canadian's effort. And it pays off as Alcaraz for once nets a backhand. There's another quiz question for Max, which will come to later as well.
Yes, I'm just looking at that.
Is that why you've been quiet? Been trying to work it out?
Yeah, just trying to... Well, it's hard to get a word in edgeways with you.
Yes, sorry. I need to let you carry on.
Did you notice that? Simon went all humble and apologetic there. I hope Stefan was recording it.
I'm saying nothing.
Oh, okay.
Is that good for radio?
That might make ball by ball a bit of a challenge.
Auger-Aliassime trying to at least get on the board in this set. Love 30. Taking an age between first and second serve. Or first and left serve, first serve, which goes in the net. Second serve. Love 5, 30 love. Is in the net. That was a lot of time taken for two serves that hit halfway up the net.
And there was an example of where sometimes you can just feel it. You can feel that there's going to be a double fault coming. There was just something faltering and lacking in confidence about the way Ogier Aliassime addressed the ball there.
I think he took too long, didn't he? He just sort of was there for ages.
Maybe he got in his own way.
Still 30-15. 2 hours, 14 minutes played on a brightish day here at Roland Garros. The sun's still not really coming through yet, but it will one day. Second serve. Kicker to the backhand of Alcaraz, who just sets his feet to make sure he gets the right shot, but then misses the next one in 40-15.
This is a very prickly question that Max has sent. It'll keep
read it out.
Sorry. It'll definitely keep us going. Max says, thank you, it's very kind of you.
Sorry.
Felix has two S's in his surname. Can you name the 10 men
Eight.
To read? It says 10.
Has he
here.
Changed it now?
Well, I'm reading his latest tweet. Ah. Can you name the 10 men to reach the Roland Garros final in the Open era who have two letters next to each other in their surname? It says four have two R's, two have two twos, one has two S's, one has two L's, one has two C's, one has two U's.
It reminds me of a little saying that my son taught me that he learned at school. I'll tell you in a minute about numbers. As Alcaraz plays the forehand to the forehand of Ogier Aliassime and then across to the backhand side, ooh, does well to even get that ball in court. But the angle on the slide of the short ball from Alcaraz has just dinked it the other side. It was brilliant. Yeah, it's something like, it's about the numbers 1, 2, 3. It's like 1-1 was a racehorse. 1-2 was 1-2. 2-2 was something like that. It just goes on like that. It's a sort of tongue twister. So 1-1 was a racehorse. 1-2 was 1-2. And the rest of it, I can't remember.
Excellent. Good story.
Good start.
Leo, if you're listening.
Yeah, Wrigley.
Please can you
send us the answer to that.
I mean, it's unlikely that he's listening, isn't it? It might be.
Well, he might be being forced to listen.
He might be, yeah.
Unlikely. I'm sure they're on the beach. It's a nice return from Alcaraz. It's a bit short, though, as it goes for the flashing forehand pass. This time at the net. Ogier Aliassime is there, puts it away, and he does get on the board in this third set. 5-1. Alcaraz leads, and the Spaniard will be serving for the match in a couple of moments. I can think of one with... This is to reach the Roland Garros Garros final.
Initially
he said 8, didn't he? And now he's changed it to 10.
Yeah.
Is that the last option, 10?
I'm gonna read it again because
yes.
It's quite complicated. So I'm gonna let Alcaraz play this service game because it could be quite important in the context of this match, given
right.
that he's serving for it.
Indeed. There he goes. Starts with a serve down the tee and the return way long from Ogier Aliassime. And it's been a commanding performance from Carlos Alcaraz today. Looking to get to the quarterfinals again. This will be the third straight time. And the quarterfinals really taking shape. Some great matches on the cards. This one will be a good one too as he gets through to play Stefanos Tsitsipas. Yannick Sinner in their section as well. Sinner playing tonight against Corentin Moutet. Back and return from Ogier Aliassime. To move quickly back to his backhand to change direction, and he can't control the resultant backhand up the line. It goes just long. And Ogier Aliassime just walking slowly, had that treatment at the end of the first set, maybe not feeling absolutely 100%. And I think if that's the case against Carlos Alcaraz, well, you're not going to come out of it on the right side. Alcaraz serves down the tee again. Backhand return is good this time from Ogier Aliassime, who suddenly finds a bit of energy and dynamism on the forehand into the backhand corner, and Alcaraz can't do anything with it.
Yes, at this stage, Ogier Aliassime, well, he'll tell himself that he still believes, but deep down, he knows that these are the dying embers of his tournament.
Yeah. You can tell yourself what you like, but it's pretty difficult, isn't it, at this stage. Still 30-15, 2 points away. Onto the baseline goes the forehand of Alcaraz. The backhand goes wide from Ogier Aliassime. And it's two match points to the Spaniard. As I write down the quiz question. My own benefit later. Well, 2 hours, 19 minutes. A nice workout for Alcaraz and a nice round of applause for both men from a packed court, Philippe Chatrier. Match points to Alcaraz. To the serve to the forehand of Auger-Aliassime. Up the line goes the Spaniard at the net. Drop volley from Alcaraz is a beauty. And he swats the ball away into the stands. Alcaraz safely through, impressively through to the quarterfinals once more. He beats Felix Auger-Aliassime 6-3, 6-3, 6-1. And a nice, impressive day's work from Carlos Alcaraz.
He's looking increasingly comfortable at this tournament, isn't he? He came into Roland Garros with something of a shadow over his chances. We talked a lot about that forearm injury that he's had, but as he removes the sleeve on his arm, it's almost symbolic, isn't it? Because he's been hitting freely, he's been moving wonderfully, and he's been playing with so much enthusiasm, so much puppyish delight in the way that he plays. And he stops and sportingly applauds Felix Auger-Aliassime as he leaves the court. But Alcaraz, all of that enthusiasm belies how ruthless he can be, and he was certainly ruthless today.
He certainly was. Good performance from Felix Auger-Aliassime here at Roland Garros to get to the fourth round, back where he belongs, really, in the upper echelons of the sport. He's getting his ranking back up too. He's 21 in the world, so he's not like he's a slouch, but he's back to full health, and hopefully that little niggle that he had, or the treatment he had off the court, is nothing serious, and we see him again soon on surfaces that he likes even better.
Yes, and he's going into a time of year which has been very favourable for him. He likes playing on grass. He's still very much a work in progress. I think that's exciting from the point of view of Felix Auger-Aliassime.
Indeed.
And this was a good performance. You know, you might look at the scoreline and say, oh dear. But actually, Alcaraz played really well.
Yeah.
And he may well have lost to the eventual champion.
Totally dominant performance from Alcaraz. He takes his shirt off and then puts a jacket on.
The jacket's grey.
A la Rafa Nadal.
Just to be
Yeah, that
clear.
Jacket is grey.
The jacket's grey, the T-shirt was grey.
Jacket and T-shirt were not the same colour.
Yeah, that's... They often don't like things to match, clothing manufacturers.
Well, he's not wearing them together, is he?
I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Just saying.
Here we go. Let's listen to Carlos Alcaraz with Marion Bartoli. Marion Bartoli.
Carlitos, huge congratulations to you. A round of 16 against Felix. It's never an easy match, but today, once again, you play a very solid match. How would you assess your performance overall, and what was the feeling on the court today?
Well, I'm really happy with my performance today. I think I played a really high level of tennis, really focused, not up and downs in the match. That's something that I'm working on. Really happy with everything, serve, my shots, my movement on the court. I know that Felix is a great player. He's playing a great tennis. The head-to-head, it was up to him, and I was really looking forward to be equals to him, you know. But I think both we were showing a great tennis today, but really happy to get a win at the end.
You said it yourself in your answer. It was actually 3-2 for him in the head-to-head coming in. Now it's 3-all. What would you say were the key for your success today? What did you try to really focus on to make sure you had that win at the end?
Well, I think I had to put as much return in as I can and get in the rally. If I feel strong in the rally, playing 5, 6, 7 shots in every point, I was going to have my chances, you know, to break his serve, to be with a good intensity on the match, and I think that's helped me a lot to get my